9 years ago today, Hurricane Katrina demolished much of New Orleans and gutted almost all of its public schools. Today, the school system is unlike any other in the nation. More than 90% of the city's students this fall are attending charter schools run by dozens of private nonprofit organizations. All parents choose their kids' school regardless of where they live. The NPR Ed team is focusing on these and other remarkable changes in the New Orleans schools this fall. As Claudio Sanchez reports, some say this so-called competitive, market-driven system is the future of public education and that New Orleans is the model.
A massive $1.8 billion school construction project is underway here. Almost all the new buildings will eventually house charter schools, like George Washington Carver Collegiate Academy in the city's 9th Ward. It operates out of a maze of double-wide trailers in a big open field not far from its future home, which for now is nothing more than a skeleton of steel beams. Buses arrive and unload 320 teenagers in white polo shirts and khaki pants.
Scholars, I need everybody inside the line, hands to your side. Please do not touch the rail. Remember,
kids cannot wear colors that are not the school's colors. They cannot walk outside the blue lines painted on the floors. Too many accessories, too much bling, all banned. Carver's strict approach to discipline and academics were devised not by a central administration or school board, but by collegiate academies, one of 42 private nonprofit organizations that have pretty much taken over public education in New Orleans. Each one of the 85 charter schools under this system has its own curriculum, its own hiring policies. The expectation? Results. Namely, high test scores.
I got into this because I recognize the stakes of it.
Carver principal Jarrell Bryant.
Here is a group of people who are not getting what they deserved.
Brian, 29, grew up in Harlem, New York, graduated from Yale and came to New Orleans in 2007. Like most of the young people who flocked here after Katrina, Brian had no teaching experience, but says he wanted to make a difference in the lives of kids who had been through so much. Jessica Butler, 15, was in elementary school when Katrina demolished her home.
We basically lived in our car for like 2 weeks, and then when I actually got to school, I was the new kid. I was the kid from New Orleans.
Jessica and her family fled to Houston, where she says they did not feel welcome. 16-year-old Clarence Plummer and his family ended up in Houston, too.
Once I got to Texas, people looked at me different just because I was from New Orleans. And they look at me like, oh, you're supposed to be a gangster. Let me test and see how real you are. So I'm like, how you just assume that I'm one of them people? I just come here to go to school. I'm trying to learn like you.
Clarence lost count of the fights he got into in Houston. Carver Academy, on the other hand, has been good for him.
Because now it's like the teachers aren't really teachers. It's like they're actually people you can sit down and talk to, like part of your family. So it's like reaching for their approval on most of the things you do.
That change in how kids view their education is why New Orleans has come under a microscope. The city's children, almost all African American and poor, are now part of an experiment, a chance to rethink everything, says Principal Bryant.
There is something here that requires some change. I mean, this city, it's the gumbo city for a reason. Whether you want to call it an experiment, we have to give it a fair opportunity to see if this can work.
9 years after the state turned the city's public schools over to charter organizations, test scores have shot up, and kids are outpacing their peers throughout Louisiana. But are New Orleans schools today good enough?
I think the evidence is mixed.
John Ayers is director of the Cowan Institute for Public Education at Tulane University. It has chronicled the takeover of New Orleans public schools since 2007.
Before the storm, 65% of students were attending a failing school. Now about 13% are in failing schools. And we replaced a system that was rife with corruption and failure. And that's kind of a miracle. But
in a decentralized school system with 45,000 students, Ayers concedes some kids still fall through the cracks.
Chronic absenteeism and truancy problems have not been dealt with well. We have not done a great job on special ed, which is common. We've got data that suggests a degree of success, but we're aiming at basic skills, not at mastery. And mastery is what you need to get to go to the next grade. So we only have 19% of the young people in Orleans Parish hitting mastery.
For a system that's supposed to be a model for the nation, critics say that's far from impressive.
My reading of the evidence is that it's been overblown. There's still substantial numbers of schools that struggle in New Orleans.
Richard Collenberg, senior fellow with the Century Foundation, is a critic of the most important feature of the New Orleans experiment, school choice.
We've had corporate reformers come into the public school system and impose this market-based model. The problem is that in education, choice by itself, unregulated choice, will often lead to higher levels of segregation, greater inequality, and that is quite disturbing.
So sure, says Cullenberg, parents can choose, but there aren't enough spots in good schools. White students, meanwhile, disproportionately attend the top-performing charters, or so-called A and B schools, in part because these schools kept their selective admissions policies after Katrina. Still, Ayers insists, school choice works better than people think.
We are the only city that has created the first true market in public education, and by no means a perfect market. But listen, it's unique.
Parents, meanwhile, seem split. At this citywide fair, hundreds have shown up to pick up free school supplies. Denise Mollisong's three daughters all attend charters.
If an organization or some sort wants to invest and take interest in a school system, and if they can produce a quality education, then I think it's great. And the children are the ones that benefit from it.
Oh my gracious!
Oh my goodness!
Mollisong says her three little girls are thriving.
What size does she wear?
A few tables down, Maurice Franklin waits in line for a free polo shirt for each of her two kids. She put her 15-year-old daughter in a non-charter school this year, one of only six left in the entire city. It's been a lot tougher finding the right school for her 6-year-old, says Franklin, because he has a learning disability, and the charter school that he went to last year didn't treat him or her very well.
They never put me around the table to try to tell me what's going on with him or anything like that. I was in the blind. And so this year coming up, I'm educated about it. So they won't be able to fool me this time.
Good morning, team.
Good morning, Mr. Bryant.
Good to see you all.
It's good to be seen.
It's 8 a.m. at George Washington Carver Collegiate Academy. Principal Jarrell Bryant gathers his staff before kids arrive. He agrees with parents who say there's a lot to fix. Indeed, the discipline policies at Collegiate Academy schools, including Carver, have prompted a civil rights complaint by parents who say discipline is so harsh it verges on abuse. Bryant is not free to discuss the issue. He has a lot more to worry about. Less than a fourth of his ninth graders this year are reading at grade level, and a fifth have a learning disability.
We don't deserve a lot of time to make this work because it's too high stakes. It's not about politics, it's about kids. You get one childhood, and we have to make it count for kids.
Who are we?
Carver Collegiate Academy. When one rises, we all rise.
How do we start?
One step, one classroom, one school.
Before he wraps up his morning meeting, Brian joins his staff in an incantation of sorts, the same one students will have heard hundreds of times by the end of the school year.
Where are you headed?
To college.
Exceed the expectation. C.
It's 8:20, and teachers scurry to their classrooms, well aware that the entire country is watching. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.